On Monday, the district did come to the table and say they had, I guess, freed up about $1.8 million in non-recurring funds, and they offered to do a bonus with that money. And so when you split that among the people in the bargaining unit, between our teacher bargaining unit and our education support professionals, that amounts to a one-time $92 payment.
That $92, a one-time payment, is quite a change from a few years ago. They said that some of the teachers would be getting a $4,000 raise.
It's certainly a change from a few years ago, and it's not an offer I think our members felt really great about.
There was a school board meeting yesterday, Tuesday. What happened there?
Well, we had a number of our members, several hundred, come, and I think, as we did a couple weeks ago, express some displeasure at the fact that we don't feel like the district, you know, handled our negotiations in good faith. And, you know, I think part of the problem that people need to understand is we've been at the table for 6 months. If the district had approached this in a different way, we might be in a different place. But, you know, they've basically not had discussion. They made reference to a possible new pay plan next year, but they gave no details as to what that would look like. And they, in essence, said, we just want to be done this year and start again next year. I think the notion that teachers would agree to that, or our ESPs would agree to that, is pretty far-fetched. And I think, you know, if you saw any of what people had to say yesterday on the news, a lot of people covered the school board, you know, you would see people felt like that was disrespectful, a slap in the face, you know, doesn't even begin to cover the kind of money they put into their classrooms just on a monthly basis. So people are pretty unhappy.
And that pay plan that would give teachers every 3 years a $4,000 raise, was that a signed contract you had with the district, or was that just a gentleman's agreement that they're backing out of?
No, it's a signed contract. It's a signed contract with the district, and we do in Florida negotiate money on a yearly basis. And so, again, I've never taken the position that the district can't come and say they want to do something different. Whether I agree with that or not, it's a whole other story. But the district coming, you know, and saying they want to do something different, you sort of have the notion that if you don't like the pay plan, you'd say, here's why we don't like the pay plan, and here's what we suggest would be better. And they've, again, done none of that. They just would like this to be over because, I don't know, I guess they don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, people have waited. The way our pay plan is set up, a third of the people move every year, and so there's people who've been waiting, you know, 3 years to get a raise that would cover their cost of living, that would cover other things. And so to pull the rug out from under them and offer nothing even remotely reasonable in its place is really problematic for people. You know, not to mention, Sean, one of the most important things to, I think, highlight in all of this is, again, I'm not going to say money isn't an issue. Money is an issue. But beyond money, it's how they've dealt with the situation. And that's about respect. And they are simply not showing it. But they're also putting the district in a bad position going forward, because they have this notion that our pay plan is so very expensive, but teachers in years, you know, 1 through 6 on the pay scale could go to Pinellas and make more money as a first-year teacher tomorrow. And so we're not competitive. And I mean, we have teachers who come from Pinellas to work here. It isn't like they couldn't choose to work in Pinellas, or that it's such a hard drive across the bridge to go to a different school and a different district.
What's at the root of the financial problem? I read in the Tampa Bay Times that the school superintendent pointed out that there were teachers who earned between $80,000 and $100,000. So is that the root, or is there something else?
Oh, God, no. I mean, even I think the superintendent's highlighting of a very small amount of people who make that kind of money is disingenuous at best, because the top of our pay scale is $66,000. And so if you're making $80,000 as a teacher, you basically very likely have taken every possible opportunity to make additional money. So you could be acting as a department head, which has additional responsibility.
you can be working summer school, which means you're working, you know, working the full year, you have no time off. You could be doing district trainings, which means you're working every night or on the weekends. I haven't gotten the public records request on the list of who exactly he was talking about. However, in sitting down and trying to figure out, it is possible if you, in essence, are working 80 hours a week, doing every job you can do to make another $1,000 here or $1,000 there. And so, yeah, if you have two jobs in the district, you could make that much money. But even the number he quoted is 1.5% of the bargaining unit. So even if a very small number who've been here a long time, who are, again, hustling to do every possible thing, even if they are doing well, that's not the majority. I mean, our teachers who are in their first years, again, are making $38,000, which isn't competitive as a starting salary with any district in the region, not Polk, not Pasco, not Pinellas, not, you know, Manatee, or certainly Sarasota, which is among the highest paid in the state of Florida.
And finally, when will you decide about the offer of $1.8 million to the 20,000 employees? Will there be a vote among the teachers' union members?
Oh, no, no. I mean, the bargaining team wouldn't bring that offer to our members for a vote. That's not something people would accept. And so the question is, can we keep talking? Can we get somewhere that is a more palatable place for everyone? I'm not sure at this point whether that's possible, but again, I always hold out hope. We can declare impasse, which is basically to go to an outside hearing officer and say we can't agree. But that's a lengthy process, and I'm definitely as a general rule, am a person who thinks you're always better off if you keep talking. And you can keep talking through impasse. So we have a board meeting this week, and I think we'll be making some decisions about where we go from here.